This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and grads in career transition bridge to better employment.
Good morning and welcome to Career Talk, a monthly conversation with interesting people who have a direct connection to UC San Diego Extension's courses and certificate programs. I'm John Freeman, Communications Director at Extension, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Alex Guazzelli, an instructor at Extension and leading expert in the fast-emerging field of predictive analytics. Thank you for joining me, Alex.
Hi, John. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. So I look forward to what I'm sure will be a very stimulating conversation on predictive analytics. First, let me take a few minutes to tell you more about Alex. He's an expert in brain neurology, and he's responsible for developing the core predictive technology for Zementis, a highly successful technology firm based here in San Diego. A native of Brazil, he has more than 15 years of experience in the fields of neural networks and machine learning. And in his present role as Vice President of Analytics, he manages all advanced scientific analytics for the company. His six-week extension course, called Predictive Models with PMML, is now underway. So, with that said, let's get started. And what I want to do, if I may, is for those of us like myself who aren't experts in this, as you are, let's go over some basic terminology. First,
okay, that sounds good.
Here's a general question. What exactly is predictive analytics?
I think the name kind of says a little bit about it, right? It tries to predict, right? So predict the future or predict outcomes. And it's really a set of clever mathematical techniques that you can apply into historical data to try to learn patterns out of that data. And usually these are patterns that are not really seen by the human expert eye. So you need really these interesting mathematical techniques to go through this data and try to learn these patterns. And the idea is that you can then apply these things you learn from the data in the future. So whenever you are looking at new data that's coming through and that pattern starts to emerge, you then can make a prediction. You can say, okay, the outcome of this is going to be this, you know, if we wait a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. So you're really looking into the future. And the number of applications of predictive analytics are really far and wide. It's really a fascinating field.
Now, you said the word data several times. What is the current term being used, big data? How big is big data? What does it mean? Does big data really, I mean, is it beyond big? Is it as big as can be imagined?
Yeah, it's pretty big, and it's getting bigger every day. Usually when people refer to big data, they think of, or they speak of the three Vs of big data, and that's velocity, variety, and volume. So when we think of big data, we think in terms of volume, right? Lots and lots of data. But it's not just volume, it's also variety, right? We have tweets, we have comments that people post on their Facebook page, right? We have credit card transactions, mm-hmm. we have location information that's given out by our cell phones. We have x-rays, you know, in medical data. So the variety of this data is also pretty interesting, right? And then velocity, which is the other V, right, is that we are capturing this data in an ever-increasing pace, right? More and more, you know, companies are getting into the business of acquiring data, which can have its problems too, right? We can talk about that later. But I also identify another V in big data, which is value, right? It's really extracting value from this, you know, all this, you know, immense amount of data. And I think that's where predictive analytics comes in, right? It's really trying to extract insight and value from big data.
So another term that I use, which happens to be your class, PMML. What does that mean and what is it? What's its significance?
Yeah, it's a great question. So PML stands for Predictive Model Markup Language.
Mm-hmm. So it's a language unto itself.
It is a computer language, yeah. And it's a standard to represent predictive analytic systems or solutions. So the idea is that you build these solutions based on past data or historical data, right? You learn from this data. and you represent your solution in this language called PMML. And then what allows you to do is to move this solution to any other system. And really gives you a lot of flexibility because you can build your solution in one place and move it and make it work in another place. I'm trying not to get very technical
but you
know, that's really the idea, is to be able to move your solutions around very easily.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a fellow whose name I'm familiar with, Nate Silver, who he correctly, accurately predicted the outcome state by state, all 50 states, of the 2012 presidential election.
I heard,
now
yes.
He's with ESPN,
okay.
And he is an expert. He is now the nationally known expert in predictive analytics.
Mm-hmm.
What other, besides predicting elections, what other applications might this field have? You mentioned credit cards, credit card fraud. How does that relate?
Yeah, so we were talking earlier about credit card fraud, and it's really a classic application of predictive analytics because, as you can imagine, every time you swipe your card or use your card on the internet, you're creating data, right? Mm. It's a transaction.
You're giving this data away.
Yeah, you're generating the data, right? Mm-hmm. But does it belong to you? I mean, they're giving away, I don't know, it's an interesting term.
Yes,
we can talk about it. But yeah, you are making this data available to the bank or to the credit card company. And what they can do is that they can then use predictive analytics, and they actually use a technique that I really enjoy and I have worked with in the past called artificial neural networks.
Mm-hmm.
And these artificial neural networks then are experts in going through this data and extracting patterns that are fraudulent patterns. So, for example, if transactions happen very quickly in a matter of hours, right, that's usually a fraud pattern because when they get a hold of your credit card, they go on a shopping spree, right? But they also learn the patterns that are associated to you, to your account. So they can look at the differences between the fraud patterns and the patterns that are associated to you. For example, you live in San Diego, you probably go shop at Costco or, you know, at a supermarket like Ralph's. So, you know, you expend most of your, you use your credit card around, right, in different places. You go to the same gas station mostly. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, identifies you, mm-hmm. right?
This is my persona,
correct.
My purchasing persona.
Correct, right. And then if that changes and then becomes more of a fraud persona, these systems can flag and say, well, there is something really weird going on here. We better call John and make sure it's him, right? Mm-hmm. Or a lot of systems now, what they do is they actually work in real time. They look at these transactions, and if they think it's fraud and they have a very high probability that that's fraud, they'll actually decline it. So what I have, a lot of people have experiencing now is they fly overseas and they try to use the credit card without telling the bank, and the first transaction is declined. And that's because, you know, there's a big change in the pattern.
Mm-hmm. Right. So tell me more about Zementis, the company that you're with. What you just discussed, how does Zementis make sure that these transactions are above board? How do they detect fraud? What do they really do?
So,
Zementis.
Yeah, Zementis is really a software company for predictive analytics. So there are many of predictive analytic companies that build software for scientists to train these models, these predictive models, right? And then once these models are constructed, they represent an PMML. The language I'm teaching, right?
It's the universal language.
It's the universal language for predictive analytics. And then what Zementis
does... The Esperanto of...
Yeah, or the lingua franca. I like the Esperanto part. I never thought of it in those terms. I'm going to start using it. What Zementis does is then build systems that can understand this language and make it available in different platforms.
Uh-huh.
And big data platforms is really what we do. So you can take these models that you build, let's say looking at credit card transactions, and then use them on big data platforms such as Hadoop. You know, mm-hmm. if your listeners have heard of that, that's a common big data platform.
Mm-hmm. So Hadoop, Hadoop.
Correct, yeah.
Does that stand for something that we should know?
Well, I think it was the name of an elephant.
Really?
The logo for Hadoop, the entire thing, is an elephant.
Okay.
And I think the person that started the project, it's an open project, by the way. People can download and use it for free. Hadoop itself.
So it's like it's a made-up funny word.
Yeah,
like we thought Google was way back when.
I think his son actually came up with the name. Was the name of his elephant stuffed animal. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to healthcare. What applications does predictive analytics have in the field of healthcare?
Yeah, and I think the first one is fraud. Right, you would not think of, but it's a very common application. There is a lot of
As insurance fraud.
Frauding Medicare and all that.
Okay.
So
it's a
big application of predictive analytics. But I think one that you probably would enjoy hearing about is prevention of disease. So you can look at populations that, for example, developed heart disease, and then you can learn patterns from that. You can apply then that knowledge on new populations and see who in that population is going to develop heart disease or diabetes or something like that, and you can then come up with preventive measures to try to, to make people healthier, mm-hmm. so to speak, and not fall into that bucket of disease. Right.
It occurs to me: does this have an application in addition to countries as advanced countries such as ours? But how about third world countries? Does it have an additional does it apply to those countries as well?
Yeah, it does, and in healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. In many ways, and it's something we don't talk usually here in the U.S. because, we have doctors and they're plenty somehow, right? Mm-hmm. But if you go to Africa, and I was talking to a friend of mine who is a UNESCO representative in Africa, there are countries that have less than 100 doctors.
Mm-hmm. And for millions of people.
Yeah, and people will be surprised, but that's really, unfortunately, the reality there. So you can use the systems to do some kind of disease, trying to find out what that person has, right, mm-hmm. instead of having a doctor in place. It could be maybe a basic, diagnosis system, right? So they can help in diagnosis as well, mm-hmm. but I don't believe they will be as important as a doctor, a live doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe eventually 100 years from now, I don't know. But right now, I think they can assist in diagnosing. But it's probably a good application for areas in which they really lack the personnel to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go into your course. And the course is titled, actually the book that you wrote, the book.
Yeah,
and
correct.
The book is titled PMML in Action, Unleashing the Power of Open Standards for Data Mining and Predictive Analytics. Well, clearly, at least to me, this is not a book or a course for beginners. I guess my question is, what do you expect what kind of students do you have? Are they experts already? Are they professionals in the field? Are they people that are interested in increasing their knowledge? Who shows up?
It is a good question. I think most of my students today are folks that have some experience in predictive analytics already. But it's a beginner course for that crowd. So to speak,
for that crowd. So it's not really a beginner's course.
I believe it would be hard for someone that doesn't have any knowledge of predictive analytics or computer languages. Mm-hmm. Right. Having said that, though, it's part of the data mining certificate at UCSD Extension.
Yes.
Right. So if people are interested in data mining, they are taking other courses, and they're really putting work into that. I would think it could be very useful. They would need to have some knowledge of computer language, though.
Mm-hmm. So now the 6-week course is over, and you are thinking to yourself, what have I taught them? What have they learned? What's been the advantage of this 6 weeks? What do you expect them to learn?
Well, the idea is really for them to learn the language, right? Mm-hmm. But
can you learn it in 6 weeks? Is it?
Yeah, you can. Like any computer language, I learned many computer languages during my professional life, and you have to practice. Mm-hmm. Just like any other language, like even, if you want to learn French, you have to practice French, right? So if they take the 6 weeks and they put time on it, although the classes itself are mostly 2 hours a week, but if they, you know, do the homework and the exercises and practice on their own, they can learn a lot about it. So
so now you're from Brazil, mm-hmm. so I assume that you speak fluent Portuguese.
Right.
And fluent English.
Right.
Other languages?
I speak French and Spanish as
French
well.
And Spanish. And how many computer languages are you fluent in?
Oh, quite a few. But, you know, it's like anything in life. If you don't practice, you lose it, basically, mm-hmm. right? I got my bachelor's in computer science many, many years ago. And then I did my master's in computer science and then my PhD in computer science applied to artificial neural networks. Mm-hmm. And brain theory. But I learned a lot of computer languages, throughout.
There's a term that I referred to early on, and I want to get into it. We all know Siri.
Oh, yes.
Siri has an attitude sometimes, but machine learning? What does that mean?
And that's, I think, the fascinating part about predictive analytics, right, is the capacity that we have to create algorithms that mimic the way we learn.
Mm-hmm. And speak.
And speak mm-hmm. and listen, right, and understand the world and try to make those available to a machine or a system to benefit us at the end of the day, right? I'm fascinated by how our brain learns and how we can use theoretical or artificial systems to try to understand even the way we learn, right? Because it's really still not very well defined how we learn or how we create memories and all that, right? It's still somewhat of a mystery. We're advancing a little bit more, but neuroscience is a field that is a little, you know, there is a lot to be done, mm-hmm. you know.
Is there something, I think there is, but is there something spooky about a machine talking to you and giving you directions and giving you answers to questions you just don't know the answer to, and immediately this voice pops up and gives you the answer? Is there something spooky about that, or is that just the technological advances we're making? How do you regard that?
I think it's spooky if you're not used to it, right? But I see kids that are growing up with that, and for them it's the most natural thing, right? So it's both, mm-hmm. right? It is definitely where we're going, with getting assistance from machines more and more, and we are learning to rely on that more and more as well, right? Mm-hmm. Which can kind of have it good and bad parts, right? Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to quickly your course. Obviously, you know your stuff, and you're an absolute expert in this. How do you convey that to your students? What makes you effective as an instructor?
I really enjoy teaching, right?
Yeah.
And I think whenever you put your heart into something, you know, you're a little more effective.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's what comes through.
Do you put your heart and soul? Can you put a soul into predictive analytics? Is there a soul there?
Why not? Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. I can see, I can see that. A holistic kind of approach to teaching.
Ah,
right?
The holistic predictive analytics.
There we
course.
Go. Uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh. yes.
All right, so tell me, amid all these brainiac pursuits that you have, mm-hmm. and by the way, your PhD was in?
Computer science, but applied to brain theory.
Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. you were an expert in, I believe it was neurology.
Yeah, it's basically trying to come up with artificial systems that explain how the brain, the neural networks in the brain work. And then I went on to do a two postdocs in electrophysiology, which is recording from neurons in the brain.
Mm-hmm. Here's a basic, probably fundamental question. How does the brain work? And how does that compare to the neural or the machine learning that is advancing so quickly? What's the comparison? How smart is the brain compared, or how smart is the computer compared to a brain?
Oh boy, maybe that's a question, an answer for another.
Question for the ages.
A question for the ages, the $1 million question, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are really in the beginning. The brain is so powerful, we don't even understand,
What percentage would it be? Would it be 1/10 of 1/1,000,000 of 1%?
I guess it depends on the tasks. Computers can do really well in chess these days, right? Jeopardy, right?
Uh-huh.
Like Big Blue from IBM. Right. Siri's getting
Chris
better.
Chris Jennings didn't have a chance, I guess. Ken Jennings, yeah.
Right, right. But having everything together in a single system like we do, right? Even grasping for a water bottle, we don't think about it, but you have to model the 3D version of the bottle in your head and then mold your hands appropriately to just to grasp the bottle, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a very complex task.
Interesting. So, okay, what do you do, Mr. Brainiac, to relax your brain? you say that you work 10 hours a day, incessantly, and these are things you think about. What do you do to relax?
Well, I that's something I tell my friends all the time. Yoga and meditation. I think it's really a great techniques to quiet your mind and concentrate.
And what do you think about or not think about when you do yoga? Do these thoughts of your brain, do they ever kind of worm their way into you when you're doing yoga?
That's the nice part about yoga. You really have to shut down your brain and concentrate. Otherwise, you cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be present. You have to be, in your body to do yoga. And that's the main reason I like it.
So you're turning off your brain with a purpose.
Exactly. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to thank my special guest, Alex Guazzelli. It's
thank
been
you,
terrific.
John.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been a really fascinating look at predictive analytics and its role in our lives and increasing role in our lives now and into the future. So for San Diego, UC San Diego Extension's Career Talk, this is John Freeman. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, John.